when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for being there, and thank Miss Monica Schaefer for coming on the first hour. She did a great job, and thank God that Sister Nancy Hitz in here to rest my lungs were burning like fire. Starting to get better now. I guess I've been running out in that cold wind. The winds of Memphis have just been howling. We've been having incredibly unusual weather. We've gone through 2 to 3 degrees Fahrenheit, and it's been really cold the last couple of days, and the wind will blow you off your feet just about. But anyway, back to long story short, we have Miss Nancy Hitt coming out, and boy, she's got a lot planned, and thank God she does. You're going to really like it. And she's going to rest my old voice, man. I'm telling you. But Sister Nancy, I know this. I know what you're going to talk about. But if you will, tell the audience where we're going to start talking. What we're going to start talking about. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I've got 4 or 5 different topics here, and I want to start by saying, are we going to celebrate the federal holiday Monday? Isn't that King?
I sure am. I'm going to march. I've got a big march. I'm marching for civil rights, man. I'm marching for King and all that stuff. Yeah, I've got my signs made up and everything, man.
Well, I was going to say that, yes, Monday, January the 16th, everything's going to close down for Martin Luther King Day. He has replaced the celebration that was traditionally for Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson's birthday. Lee was born January the 19th. Jackson was born the 21st, and that criminal King was born January the 15th. Both Jackson and Lee were God-fearing men, and it is reported repeatedly that Robert E. Lee lived a stainless life. He never received even one demerit at the time that he attended West Point, and yet we replaced these admirable, highly esteemed men with a corrupt person who is actually much elevated in the media, and most people even probably have a high opinion of Martin Luther King. So it's very sad. Those are just some facts of life. I wanted to mention that I've been active putting up my own signs on telephone poles around here, and I try to do that on a regular basis. And I want to encourage people to call their representative or their senator, and I want to give this telephone number they can call. This goes right to the U.S. Capitol. You don't have to speak to your senator or representatives. You can speak to any of them and leave a message. The number is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. We need to call them to complain or congratulate. Now, I just called a couple of days ago. I called to Representative Matt Gaetz and Representative Lauren Boebert and thanked them for their courageous stand in trying to make some changes that might help in Congress and to stand down against McCarthy. And I think that they were very brave in their stand. It certainly wasn't something that a lot of Republicans were opposed to what they did. I want to pitch out something that I think is really ridiculous. Of course, isn't the world ridiculous now? I think poor old Representative Joe Wilson of South Carolina must have gone off his meds. He apparently wants to have a bust of Porno King Zelensky placed in the Capitol. Can there be anything more outrageous than that?
That's about as bad as it gets.
I think so, too. I'll let him know how I felt about that as well. I think what I'm going to just discuss is something that I found two audio tapes, and they're things that I've probably had for 10 years. I'm sure that I listened to them at the time that I bought them. One was an audio tape of the British Oswald Mosley, and it was fascinating what Oswald Mosley had to say. He was very outspoken. He organized the black shirts in England, and he didn't mince any words. He didn't hold back talking about the Jews. He considered the Jews are getting us into this war. Of course, he started back in the 30s, and he was talking about Jewish finances getting us into this war. He talked about that the Jews should give up their British citizenship if they consider themselves to be secondary citizens, not real citizens. And he said that they should leave. Now, these things, you wouldn't hear any of these things today, but he said they should leave the country and go to some other country they respect. And they should not consider themselves to be foreigners. And that if they do consider themselves to be foreigners in Britain, they should not have have their citizenship in England. Anyway, he goes on to say, "In tomorrow we live," and he had one of the largest political speeches. I think it was around 1934 at Earl's Court. It was a big deal, so he had quite a few followers. He had a great personality. Now, of course, during the war, he was held kind of in a prison, but not like in a prison cell, but I think in a country home with his wife. So he was held in, so he couldn't make speeches at that time. I don't know if you want to say something, and I'll come back and talk about these other people who broadcast from Germany.
Well, yes, you know, you jogged my memory. This might be a rabbit trail, but it's really not. She's talking about giving phone numbers. I want to give the number out for United States Attorney in the Western District of Tennessee. I've already contacted them. I'm going to contact them again. I want to get an appointment to go up there. I'd like to get Keith Alexander to go with me since he is an attorney, but he may not want to go. But here's the number. Get your pencil ready, people. I'm going to give you the number in just a minute. The United States District Attorney for the District of Western Tennessee is Kevin J. Ritz, R-I-T-Z, a good Jew, of course. And here's his number. His number is 901-544-4231. And you can tell him you got this on Blood River Radio. I don't care. You know, I want to know if this feral black animal that killed Eliza Fletcher, I want to know, when is he going to go on trial? We haven't heard a peep out of that. And here's the salient question right here. Or is he going to be charged with a hate crime like the McMichaels were?
No.
The McMichaels were charged with hate crime, man. They're doing two life sentences because they hate crime by, you know, to protecting themselves. But I want to know, and I'll repeat this, ask this guy, this U.S. District Attorney who will not answer my phone calls. I have to go down there. I hear that, Joe, you have to have one of these new licenses. What is it? The regular driver's license you can't get. You got to have this new improved license. I forgot what it is. I have to do that. But ask him, is he ever going to go to trial? And is he going to ask the United States District Attorney, Western District, he's a federal guy. He was appointed by George Soros. You may say, I say appointed, he ran for election, but George Soros had him put in. And ask him again, I know I'm repeating myself. Is this black that killed him, this black feral animal, is he going to be charged with a hate crime for abducting this woman? He hurt her bad. There was blood in the van. He raped her. He murdered her. He dumped her into a weed patch over in a real rough part of South Memphis where I grew up in. I mean, it's rougher than hell. He dumped her out like a sack of garbage. I want to know, is he going to be tried for hate crime? And is he going to be put to death like he should be? What's going to happen to him? So, people, once more, here's the phone number. 901-544-4241. If you need more information, contact me, Eddie at bloodriverradio.com, and call that guy and tell him to get off his butt, do his duty, and you can say, Eddie the Bombardier Miller sent you. Back to you, Miss Nancy.
Well, I can tell you the answer to that. Of course, he's not going to be tried for hate crimes. You know, I went down to Knoxville when they had the protest about the four blacks, I think it was the four males and one woman, black woman, that killed that white couple. Now, they were not tried. I don't think they were convicted of hate crimes, and they didn't get the death penalty either.
You know what, Sister Nancy? Here's what really makes me sick. I've seen people, and one of them is a so-called friend. They're young. And when you start talking about Eliza Fletcher, they don't even mention her. I think I've said this on the radio once before, but I can't get over this. This happened again recently. They start speaking against that black feral animal. I don't even remember his name. Don't want to know his name. They start speaking, making excuses right off the bat. They're apologetic. Well, there's the music. But they start talking, well, he grew up bad. He was probably raped when he was a kid. Never a word for Eliza. It's just, they start, but it's like, you should apologize for putting that black in jail. Be right back, folks.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly? Nope. Never had a lesson.
Dear Blood River Radio family, listen, we're getting ready to go into some stuff, some other history. I've heard since we've had Sister Nancy on and Brother Gene, the Bitter Ender, have been on this show long before Sister Nancy came on, and he is a history teacher, cum laude, summa cum laude. The guy is great. But listen, Sister Nancy's getting to bring some stuff on board I doubt if Gene's ever even heard of. And before we do that, I'm going to preface, make a little statement before Sister Nancy starts teaching you this history. We said this before. You need to pay attention, not to me, but to Sister Nancy and to the Bitter Ender. They're giving you golden history, true history, that's being what George Orwell would describe as being thrown down the memory hole. They want the powers that be, this same old ancient enemy, they want to totally destroy all links to our good white Christian people. They want to destroy the links you have to your past, to your ancestors. They don't want you to take pride in your ancestry. They certainly don't want you to love your ancestors. They don't want you to love your mother and father, your grandparents, your great-grandparents. They don't want you to have any pride in that at all. They're getting rid of all that. So you need to pay attention, and you need to teach your children history lessons that you hear, especially on Blood River, from these people, from Sister Nancy and Jean. But if you don't teach them, who will? If you don't teach them, you're going to be leave a vacuum in their mind, and that vacuum will be filled with how they need to hate themselves, how the little girl might not really, maybe she doesn't want to be a girl. They want to try to teach them to mutilate the sexual genitals and stuff like that. Also, what Miss Sister Nancy is getting ready to talk about now, I've never heard of, and you especially need to pay attention to this. So go ahead, Sister Nancy.
Okay, this is a second audio tape that I found going through my audio tapes. I'm sure that I've had it around in storage for 10 years. At one point, I know that I listened to it, and I cannot find it on the Internet, but I think a German company, a pro-German company, may have these audio tapes still for sale. I don't remember. There is no indication where this came from. But this particular, the first one was on Mosley, and it was not very clear. There were quite a few speeches on it, and I sent it on to my brother. The one that I kept is called Axis American Broadcasters. We have, on the one side, we've got Radio Berlin News Communiques. We've got Robert H. Best, and his speaking voice and the audio that I have is... His is the clearest broadcast. It's also quite amazing what he had to say. He was actually from Sumter, South Carolina. He came from a religious background. But the things that he said are things you would never hear today. He said things like, he was really bad-mouthing FDR and the Jews, and he just said that FDR was a mental cripple. He was a puppet of Judah. He had all of these. He was a kike megalomania. He said the brain trust was a blame trust and a shame trust for the unthinking masses. He said FDR was nothing but a big-time Jewish crook, and that he thinks he runs the world. He runs the world like a gangster chief in a cheap detective story. He said Roosevelt was nothing but riffraff. He should never have sent the boys to war, and that he acts like a Jew. He's a slave of Judah, and he destroyed large numbers of Americans. And that what I really liked was that he said that nobody should be elected for anything, even as low as a dog catcher, if they'd ever had any contact with Jews. So he just said it like, things that you would never hear today. Totally, you would just never hear these kinds of things today. I'll go back at some point and tell you a little more about Robert Henry Best. But the other person who is on here is a female, Mildred E. Gillers. And she was Axis Sally. These people were broadcasting from Berlin. And they were... they were speaking what they believed to be true, that the FDR was just got us into jail, got us into the war along with Winston Churchill, and the war was just being fought for the Jews. This is something you never hear. And the second side is someone by the name of Douglas Chandler, who broadcast as Paul Revere. And then you have a Japanese-American woman, Iva Togura Daquila, and she was known as Tokyo Rose. Now, she's more I think her name is more familiar, Tokyo Rose. And then there's a British, William Joyce. He was nicknamed Lord Haw Haw, and they'd have his very last broadcast from Germany. Lord Haw Haw, unfortunately, he was actually in Berlin. He was shot when they arrested him, or attempted to arrest him. And they took him to England, and ultimately Lord Haw Haw was executed. Now, these other people, these Americans, some of them, they were, at first, some of them were not arrested, and some of them stayed in Germany, and maybe a year would go past, and then the Americans would decide, well, let's go ahead and arrest them because they were charged them with treason. What they did with Robert Henry Best, the timing is really unusual. When they arrested Robert Best, he was convicted of treason in 1948. So this is quite a few years after the war. He was sentenced to life imprisonment, and he died while in federal custody in 1952. But the most unusual aspect of that is another American who was broadcasting from Germany. He was also convicted, but he was convicted in 49 of treason. But he died in the same prison almost exactly 1 year later. You know, the timing of these deaths, of course, it always looks strange. Did they, you know, they give them a poison pill? But at any rate, they didn't live too long after they ended up in American prisons. The female who, there were quite a few Axis Sallies, so I don't know if she was the original Axis Sally. There were other people who were broadcasting, and the nickname would be Axis Sally. She was ultimately convicted of treason in this country, and I think she spent almost 16 years in prison. She was sentenced up to 30 years with a $10,000 fine. In 1950, they upheld her conviction. Let's see, she was sentenced in 49. I guess she got out in 61, and she did live for quite a while after that, so I guess that was good. These people were, basically, they could see the handwriting on the wall that this was a war that we had no right to be in, and these were people of conscience. They were people who spoke out against what FDR and Winston Churchill were doing, and they could see what was going on in Germany. They were advocates for Germany. So were they traitors? That remains to be seen or answered.
You know, did you say it was the? Did I misunderstand? Was Tokyo Rose forgive me if I missed it. Was she originally? Was she an American?
Yeah, she okay. was. She was an American. Somehow or other, she. The story I have it here somewhere. She ended up in Japan. I think she was trying to find employment, and that is how she became a broadcaster. I guess one of the ways she was broadcasting back into this country because she spoke English. And there may have been other Tokyo Rose, but she was the one that this is on this audio. But it's fascinating to think, in my opinion, to think that these people were so outspoken, and today we can't even say the word. I mean, it's just, I guess that's why they ended up behind bars.
You know, another big hero of mine, Sister Nancy, was a Father Coughlin.
Sure.
I love that guy. You know, he was so influential. Had he not been so influential and had such a huge following, he would have been, well, I hear the music coming. I'll say a few words about Father Coughlin. We'll continue.
Ezra Pound.
Yeah, Ezra Pound's one of my heroes, too.
We
need to cover those two when we come back. People, we'll be right back after this break. Hang on to your seats.
Pfft. pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Dave Collins. The White House is confirming that five more classified documents were discovered at President Biden's home in Wilmington, Delaware. Special counsel to the president, Richard Sauber, stated that the documents were discovered Wednesday and Thursday. The pages were turned over to the Justice Department. This brings the total number of classified materials discovered at Biden's home and old office to around two dozen. Another atmospheric river triggering more flooding in California. The governor says the storms shouldn't be a surprise.
Governor Gavin Newsom told a group in Santa Barbara Friday the storms should not come as such a shock. In fact, he said it's something some people have known about for some time.
These atmospheric rivers, a few years ago, no one heard an atmospheric river. There was just some scientists down at Scripps saying, hey, you should pay attention to this thing.
He said Californians realize a lot of things need to change, including water infrastructure. So far, the storms have claimed the lives of 19 people. I'm Ryan Daniels.
A pilot on Hawaiian Airlines flight says a plume-like cloud shot up in front of the aircraft before extreme turbulence left more than two dozen passengers injured last month. The December 18th flight from Phoenix to Honolulu was smooth until the unexpected rough air sent passengers flying around the cabin. 25 people were injured, six seriously, and damage was caused to the cabin of the plane. Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco is announcing for the second time in less than a month that one of his deputies was killed in the line of duty. Deputy Darnell Calhoun was shot and killed while responding to a domestic violence call.
He's a husband, a son. He would have been a dad.
Police say the suspect was shot by another deputy. He's listed in critical condition. Mega Millions lottery officials say someone in the Pine Tree State, Maine, picked up all six numbers in last night's drawing. It's worth $1.35 billion. This is USA News.
Today, those interested in maintaining healthy blood sugar glucose levels still have limited choices when it comes to good-tasting, thirst-quenching beverages. One brand expanding consumer choice for blood sugar-friendly beverages is GlucoDown, manufactured by publicly traded Glucose Health Incorporated, trading under the symbol GLUC, a leader in America's true growth industry, diabetes-friendly functional beverages. GlucoDown's prebiotic fiber blocks the body's absorption of dietary sugars, moderates after-meal increases in glucose levels, and helps maintain regular digestive health. Every nutritious and delicious serving has no sugar, no caffeine, and is a great source of prebiotic soluble fiber. All eight flavors are dietitian recommended to maintain blood sugar in a healthy range. Available at CVS, Publix, online at Walmart.com, and a top category choice on Amazon. For more information on the company, visit GLUCReport.com. To begin maintaining your blood sugar in a healthy range, visit Amazon and search GlucoDown, GLUCO, down.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Well, people, I tell you what, that's a prison guard after my own heart. You're talking about somebody right here. They can't reach me. They might torture me and all that kind of stuff, kill us one of these days, but yeah. What we have here is a failure to communicate. I'm not even going to communicate with these communist bastards out there. And they're not going to reach us. They're not going to change. That's what you call a hard case. Hard case. Hardcore. Anyway, Sister Monica, I was just going to say, before we went to the break, we were talking about, and you were going to talk about this Henry Best. But go ahead and talk about him, and we'll bring Father Coughlin in. He's one of my heroes, as was Martin Luther. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm just going to, first I'm going to give a quote by Adolf Hitler. When
yes.
freedom dies, the best men meet in prison. End of quote.
I've got that on my wall. I've got that taped to my wall. I certainly do, along with an unspoken truth is worse than a lie. That was General Nick Glasnevik. He made that statement to me in May of 2021. I'd like to read that again. And this is to all of our other so-called alt-right guys out there that mm-hmm. you don't want to get down. You don't want to name the solution. And the only solution in the end is going to be raw, merciless force. We're going to have to, it's going to be armed resistance to this criminal cabal. This may be a rabbit trail, but hang on. This criminal cabal in Washington, D.C., this handful of Satan-worshipping, pedophile, drug-taking, Satan-worshipping criminals. That small 0.001%, they control this whole country. And Sister Nancy, those are the people that are trying, these people that you've been talking about, for treason. And their definition of treason is someone who they don't want to join the Army or the Air Force and go bomb the living daylights out of people like the Germans, the Afghans, the Iraqis, because they dare hold a fist up and tell the United States, the United States of America, the great Satan United States of America, they dare to defy them and say, we are not going to participate in your pedophilia. We're not going to participate in this transsexual crap. We're not going to have our kids changing their sex. That's what Putin's doing right now. I know this may be a rabbit trail. Putin's one of my heroes, too. He's not perfect, probably not, but he's a hell of a lot better than anything we got. And he's resisting. The point I'm trying to make is these people, they stood on their hind legs. They stood up to their morals. They had integrity. They had belief systems, and they agreed. They knew they were probably going to pay the ultimate price before bucking this criminal Satan cabal in Washington, D.C. That's what is their idea? What's their definition of treason? But refusing to bow down to these pedophiles.
Absolutely.
Anyway, go ahead, Sister Nancy. I didn't mean to get too carried away.
Before I talk, I want to tell you something about Robert Henry Best, but I want to give you a quote. Now, I gave you a quote by Hitler. How about one by Lenin? Now, this tells you how different they were. Lenin says, falsehoods are not only justified, but have proved to be the most effective tools in the Bolshevik struggle. Falsehoods, that's what they believed in, and that's what we're fighting with the Antifa and these leftist communists, is falsehoods and violence. Back to Robert Henry Best, perhaps at some time, listeners, you might get an opportunity to listen to a brief broadcast from Germany by Robert Henry Best. I particularly like him because he is from South Carolina, and I'm going to read a very brief biography. I'll scan over it so it won't take forever. But Robert Henry Best was born in Sumter, South Carolina. He was the son of Reverend Albert Hartwell Best, a Methodist minister. After graduating from Wolford College in 1916, he joined the United States Army Coast Artillery Corps in October 1917. He was commissioned in 1918 and stayed in the U.S. Army until 1920. Now, that's when the war was over. Then he went to School of Journalism at Columbia University, from which he graduated in 1922. With money from a $1,500 Pulitzer traveling scholarship, he traveled extensively in Europe, arriving in Vienna in 1923, where he settled and found work as a foreign freelance news correspondent for the United Press. He also contributed articles to the New York Times, Chicago Daily News, Time, and Newsweek. During this interwar period, Best covered events in Central Europe from his headquarters in Vienna. The foreign journalist of the period met daily at the Café Louvre in Vienna, where Best and Marcel Fodor presided at the regular tables where journalists and their friends socialized and shared information. He was, in a way, a Vienna institution. Best gradually fell under, they're going to call it Nazi influence. I'll call it socialist influence, following the annexation of Austria by Germany, the onslaught on March the 12th of 1938. In July of 1941, United Press fired him for non-performance, thus putting him into financial difficulties. He then made an approach to the German state radio for employment, but with no immediate success. When the United States declared war on Nazi Germany on December the 11th of 1941, Best was arrested along with other U.S. reporters and held for deportation at an internment camp at Bad Nauheim. There he decided to withdraw from the group of exchangeable Americans and remained with his fiancée, an Austrian reporter, whom he married on September the 2nd of 1942. Then he received permission to travel to Berlin, where he met a member of the radio division of the Foreign Office who recruited him as a commentator for German state radio. In one of the most astounding Benedict Arnold cases, was what they call it, of modern times. Best began in April 1942 as a news editor and commentator for the Reichsrundfunk Gesellschaft German state radio. Working in the USA zone, he broadcast talks to the U.S. under the pseudonym of Mr. Guess Who, presenting Best Berlin Broadcast. So that's kind of the what happened. He was arrested on January the 29th of 1946 after the war by British forces in Austria and handed over to the U.S. Army. He was then flown to the United States to stand trial, arriving in Massachusetts December the 14th of 1946. Now, this is interesting. In talking about a trial, it says in 1943, along with Fred Kaltenbach, Douglas Chandler, who is one of the broadcasters on my audio, Edward Delahanty, Constantine Drexel, Jane Anderson, Max Otto, Koschwitz, and Ezra Pound, they had all been indicted in absentia by a District of Columbia grand jury on charges of treason. Best was arraigned on January the 20th of 1947 and stood trial at the Boston Federal District Court on March the 29th of 48. He acted as his own lawyer before Judge Francis Ford. The witnesses at his trial included Princess Sophia Zerlip-Weinfeld of Austria. One of the most interesting parts here is this Jew, William Shire, who is famous as the author of The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. He testified, of course, against Best. Of course, he would. And Shire released a novel called The Traitor in 1950, in which the main characters were journalists who resembled himself and Best. At any rate, Best tried to act as his law. Huh?
What was that? That was the name of that novel. I like to read that. I don't read a lot. You say the name of it is Traitors. What's the name of it?
Well, of course, it would be against Best. But William Shire. He's well known for his biased book called The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. Okay. That is a very biased reporting. I only found that out years later because it's a Jewish version of The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. So his book about the traitor would be an anti-Best book, but he did write a book about him in 1950. Anyway, what happened is, Best ended up dying in prison pretty much a year before the other Herbert, John Bergman, who was also in prison at the same time.
We got to go to our final break, Sister Nancy. People will be right back after this quick break. Hang on to your seats.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
I'm back. Dear Blood River Radio audience, I had to go get something for my throat right quick, like I barely made it back. That old chest and throat's really got me. But anyway, before we go back to Sister Monica, I'd just like to make a few comments on what she said. We also have probably some modern whistleblowers that are paying the price. One of them is still in prison today. He's not really a journalist or anything, but his name is Yuri Kahl. And they resemble, that's not too far a stretch to say they have been persecuted. And Yuri Kahl was the son of Gordon Kahl, who was a tax protester in North Dakota. And Gordon Kahl was a decorated World War II pilot. His son Yuri was attending one of these tax protest meetings in North Dakota. I'll bring this down real quick, contentious. They were coming back from a tax prospects meeting, and they were ambushed by federal marshals. And Gordon Kahl shot and killed one or two marshals. Yuri never fired a shot. He was critically wounded, spent a lot of time in the hospital. When he got out of the hospital, put in prison. He's still in prison because, he didn't do anything because he was a tax protester. But that's how he was a nonviolent person. I know he wasn't a journalist, a broadcaster. You might say, well, what's that have to do with anything? But they're kind of similarly connected in a way, because they resisted the great Satan. They stood up for the great Satan. Ezra Pound, he's put into a mental institution because, that's what is more Soviet-esque? What is more like Soviet communist Judaism than to put somebody in prison because they have a different point of view that you do? They're going to put him in there and get him educated and bring him around. Also, I need to do more research on this. I don't remember his first name. Forrestal. I think he was Secretary of Defense.
Forrestal, yeah. That was another one they assassinated. Yeah.
Correct. He was. Yeah. They had an aircraft carrier named after him. And I hear he mysteriously jumped out of a window. But all this right. Is just some other people I wanted to bring to light. But Yuri Kahl, still in prison. I think he's been in prison, 40 years now?
Right.
They killed his dad. I know that, once again, I'm repeating myself, they weren't journalists, but they stood up to the great Satan. Go ahead, Sister Nancy.
What I always contended that the Gordon Kahl, they executed him. Actually, they killed him, shot him in the head. But I always thought that the main reason they went after Gordon Kahl was a tax protest. But really, I did not realize until I was doing some more research on him, and we brought this up before, he actually was talking about the fear of the Jews. So he knew there was a Jewish conspiracy. But I'm going to just read a little bit more about Robert Best. Hopefully sometime we'll be able to get him on so people can hear what he did actually say. Best's primary propaganda targets were President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Winston Churchill, the Jews, and the Soviet Union. John Carver Edwards, author of Berlin Calling, American Broadcasters in Service to the Third Reich. Now, that would be an interesting book. He said that Best broadcast continued to blast the alleged enemies of Germany with unbridled hatred. He ranted against Funny Frankie, FDR, as the dupe of America's Jewish interest and against the Semitic takeover of Masonic lodges in the United States. And he, actually, Best was a 32-degree Mason, so I guess he knew what was going on in the Masonic lodges.
That's interesting there. That's barely interesting.
Yeah,
he was 32nd degree Mason. You know what? I did not see. I know very little about the Masons. I know my grandfather was a Mason as he got older. I picked up on some of the signals he would use to other people. For instance, if you ever hear Masons talk, asking if you ever hear a man say, if they've never met before, and you know they haven't met, and they come up and you're listening to them, and they say, and one man asks the other man, when he says, are you a traveling man? And especially if the other guy says yes, he'll say, well, how long have you been traveling? And I'm thinking, what the hell are they talking about? But I finally picked up those some of the symbols I picked up on, but that's another here or there. But that's amazing. I thought that the Jews had always controlled the Freemasons. I don't know much about that, but that's very interesting. Yep. I'm surprised a 32nd degree Mason would be in trouble like that, Nancy.
Well, he knew about it. Apparently, he knew. He was against the organization he belonged to. I guess he was aware of it. And he recounted lurid tales of Soviet cannibalism on the Eastern Front. Now, this is what Best broadcast. And on April the 13th of 1945, Best program was not broadcast as scheduled. Instead, he fled his Vienna apartment, and he left a lot of his personal papers that would later be used to convict him. On April the 16th of 1948, he was convicted of 12 counts of treason, with a jury special finding that he actually gave aid and comfort to the enemy. He had admitted in court the authorship of his broadcast. He was sentenced to life imprisonment and a fine of $10,000. He gets life imprisonment for things that he believed. Anyway, he appealed his conviction in 1950, and Best again acted as his own lawyer. And the court affirmed the judgment of the district court, and Best further appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, which refused to review the conviction in 1951. He served his sentence at the federal prison in Danbury, Connecticut, on August the 12th of 1951. It's amazing to me that I was still, you know, in school thinking, had no idea that these things were going on, of course. He was transferred to the Medical Center for the federal prisoners in Springfield, Missouri. He died there of a brain hemorrhage December the 16th of 1952. And I did go to where he was buried, and it didn't show his marker, which I was looking for. He's buried in South Carolina. And what was interesting, almost exactly a year later, a fellow propagandist, Herbert John Bergman, who was also in the same prison, died almost 1 year after Beth's death. So again, you know, you always have to look at this and wonder, was it an accident that they both died in prison? I don't know. Maybe it was.
Sure.
Maybe their health was bad. I don't know.
They choked on chicken bone.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So that's that's just covered really one who was, to me, really quite interesting. The female, she was convicted as well, spent 16 years, Mildred Gillers, the supposedly Axis Sally. These were people who, they believed what they were saying. They were against the war, and they were against FDR, and they really thought the war was basically fought for the Jews. And again, it's a topic that is not well covered, I don't think. I don't think it's something that people know a lot about.
You know what, Sister Nancy, interestingly enough, it's been said that the most damaging spy ever in the history of the United States was this. I think his name was Jonathan Pollard. His last name was Pollard.
Oh, right. Oh, Pollard. I guess he's still alive in Israel.
Oh, yes, yes. And he was flown over there on a plane, I think, under on the St. Trump's watch, President
right,
Trump's.
Right, under Trump, yeah.
Yeah. He gets on his private jet, and he's greeted as a massive hero, great hero in Israel. And listen, this clown, he's a Jew, of course, Jonathan Pollard, was responsible for the deaths of many, many agents in the United States government. I have no love for deep state agents. As a matter of fact, I would just say good riddance if they got killed. But here's the thing, that he got out. Listen, he caused many deaths. These people you're talking about acted in their conscience. They had beliefs, mm-hmm. moral idols. They wouldn't believe. This Pollard, he said that anybody that's a Jew, any Jew, should be liable, duty-bound, to do what it takes to, if they happen to sabotage the United States. England didn't make a damn, because their country is Israel. I'd like to put out another thing, too. The Rosenbergs, I don't remember Rosenbergs.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were responsible for having the secrets of the atomic bomb taken to the Soviet Union, if I'm not mistaken. People can check me on that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they were executed, I believe.
They were executed. Yeah.
But Jonathan Pollard.
Time and place, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. Now, Jonathan Pollard was not executed. He was not. Oh. In fact, I'll just say again, he's living a life as a state hero in Israel. How about that, Sister
like,
Nancy?
It's like Epstein's. Robert. I can't think of.
Talk about Jeremy Epstein.
No, not is Epstein's girlfriend's father, who was a
big
British spy.
Robert Maxwell.
Well, see, he got buried. He got a great acclaim. They sent his body over to Israel. I'm sure. See, he was also a spy.
Yeah, a huge, huge spy.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, you know, I know this didn't go along with what you've been talking about, but I'm wondering how did Ghislaine get in such hot water? I was really shocked that the so-called authorities arrested her because, you know,
she'll probably end up in Israel. You wait and see. Because they were both Mossad. They were both working for the Mossad, her and her lover. Yeah, there's no doubt. They were videoing, secretly videotaping powerful people and selling it to Israel.
I never thought they would arrest that woman. I never did. You know, there's some things I can never figure out. Well, a lot of things I can't figure out. But she has to be, you know, her dad was one of the greatest Mossad agents in modern history, I would imagine. Like you said, they gave him a state funeral. He's a great hero in Israel. I'd like to watch and find out what happens to her in the end. You know, I hear she's in like one of these country club prisons, but country club prison is still prison. You know, I think she was recently transferred.
I think too, maybe she had some kind of complaint. But you know, I'm sure what they're really worried about is her black book, and that is what she's got. That's her getting out card, I'm sure. Yeah.
I wonder. Are you surprised that she hadn't been arcanized yet?
I have a feeling eventually she'll be sent to Israel or she'll get out. I think she will. They'll help. Somehow they want to cut. They do not want that little black book to be exposed. And so I'm really surprised she ended up in prison at all.
I have a prediction. You may be wrong. I'll get this out there quick. If the black book has, if her work, the work she did, no matter how much it hurts the United States of America, if it benefited Israel, the Southern Baptist, the American Evangelical Church will say, oh, let her go. You know, it's for Israel. We got to protect, even if we burn the United States to a cinder, as long as Israel survives. People are transitioning to the last hour. We're going to pick up Gene, the bitter ender. Andrews, be right back. Hang on to your seats.